Hello and welcome to this Microsoft TechNet session on Introduction to Data Protection Manager. My name is Aaron Clutter. Here is what we're going to cover today. First, we'll explore some of the common challenges that your organization faces when it comes to protecting enterprise data. You'll recognize some challenges that affect your group and others that you may not have considered. Many people may accept the limitations of their data protection approaches, even since they were at one time the best available approach. You'll find throughout this presentation that new approaches to old problems can make a big difference to your organization. We'll look at a few ways in which organizations implement their disaster recovery plans, whether localized or centralized. As we explore the options available in Data Protection Manager, you'll see how it addresses your needs regardless of your approach. Finally, we'll explore the different ways in which system administrators, help desk personnel, and end users may recover lost data quickly and efficiently. By the end of this session, you'll see how Data Protection Manager, or DPM, provides a fast, reliable way to protect your organization's critical data. You'll see how DPM helps improve system availability while cutting costs by providing quick, automated data recovery that requires much less administrator intervention than other data protection systems on the market today. As we go through today's session, you'll hear various Microsoft acronyms and terminology. While we will explain all new terms related to today's session, there are some general terms from the industry or other versions of Microsoft products that we may not spend time on. To help you out, we have listed the areas that it may be helpful to be familiar with either prior to this session or to reference afterwards. You should have experience with Windows Server 2003 or Windows Storage Server 2003. You should also have experience with working with Active Directory. And finally, you should have experience with disaster recovery models, including risk assessment, data protection plans, and recovery strategies. Now let's take a look at the agenda for today's session. We're going to begin by talking about some of the challenges and trends in protecting enterprise data today. Businesses demand increasing system availability, reliable backups, and fast recovery of critical data. After we look at some of the issues and trends, we'll introduce you to Data Protection Manager, which Microsoft has designed to address the challenges of data protection. We'll see some of the Data Protection Manager's benefits and features, and how it provides a best-in-class solution to data protection service challenges. Once we have an overview of the benefits and features of Data Protection Manager, we'll see it in action. First, we'll take a look at how DPM's backup services provide continual, efficient backup for a number of common data protection scenarios. Then, we'll see how DPM gives your organization a variety of very efficient, automated procedures to help you quickly and reliably recover your data at a lower cost than other solutions on the market today. There are a number of challenges facing IT professionals today who must protect enterprise data. Organizations have rapidly increasing storage needs due to the growth of database applications, large digital media libraries, and other space-consuming applications. Internal and governmental compliance requirements also drive the need for additional storage. The need for continuous system availability is shrinking the available backup window for traditional tape backup solutions. More data must be backed up in a shorter amount of time, making it difficult to balance system availability with data protection. System downtime is increasingly expensive, and corporate executives continue to mandate higher service level agreements. IT professionals must ensure a minimum of downtime and rapid data recovery. Economic conditions force corporations to work on reducing IT expenditures. Backup and recovery is labor and hardware intensive and needs to be more efficient to reduce costs. Accidental file deletion or modification is a significant source of data loss for organizations. Recovering data is time-consuming and expensive. Right now, administrators must be involved in all data recovery tasks. Let's explore some of the pitfalls with currently available disk-based backup solutions. Many of the disk-based solutions available today are simply a retrofit for 20-year-old tape backup technology. Organizations need a new model for data protection that takes full advantage of disks. Using tape software as the basis for a disk-based backup solution results in the backup of all files that have been changed. A large file with a minor change is backed up in full, rather than simply having the incremental changes backed up. This results in inefficient, time-consuming backup and restore processes. Also, many organizations try to use their existing tape backup software to write data to disk. However, these backups are usually still in the tape vendor's proprietary format, making recovery difficult. Many disk-based backup solutions are also cost-prohibitive because they are built using proprietary hardware and software. Because of the challenges we face in protecting critical data, we need to change the way that data protection will happen in the future. Increasing hard drive capacity and lower hard drive costs are making disk-based data protection a viable alternative to tape. Hard drives are much faster and less expensive than tapes, so we will find that disk-based solutions are more reliable and cost-effective than tape. The growth of storage and data in organizations means that we need a data protection solution that provides continuous backup throughout the day without interrupting system availability. To meet these needs, a system providing continuous backup must be very efficient, backing up only the smallest necessary portions of files to ensure reliable recovery. To minimize the expense associated with system downtime, recovery of data must happen in minutes or seconds, not hours, days, or weeks. An efficient disk-based protection system should be able to run many recovery tasks at once without waiting for a tape drive or tape media to become available. Self-service data recovery allows users to quickly recover from their own errors without the time and expense of involving administrators. Now that we've taken a look at some of the challenges and future trends in data protection, let's return to our agenda. During this section, we'll introduce the Microsoft Data Protection Manager, our new disk-based data protection service. Data Protection Manager addresses the challenges of data protection in a low-cost, easy-to-use way. DPM brings you a new method of backup and restore that uses inexpensive hard disk storage to improve reliability, cut costs, and speed data recovery. Here are some of the features of Data Protection Manager. First, Data Protection Manager features an efficient method of performing continuous backups of your organization's data without the system availability issues and network performance degradation that traditional tape backup systems have. Data recovery from tape is often a lengthy process because tape libraries operate sequentially. You have to wait for a tape drive and the correct media to become available, and then wait for the tape software to seek out the files on the tape to recover. DPM features disk-based backup that facilitates quick recovery because it allows you to quickly find the files you need and recover them without having to wait on tape drives or media. Several restore processes can be run at the same time. DPM also features simple operation. In order to reduce costly administrator involvement in data protection and recovery, Microsoft has designed Data Protection Manager with a simple interface that makes it easy to set data protection policies, find files for recovery, and report on the status and health of your backups. Data Protection Manager is built on the Windows Server 2003 operating system and uses replication and the volume shadow copy service available in Windows Server 2003 to perform data protection. Many administrators are already familiar with and take advantage of the benefits of VSS in their organizations and know it to be a familiar, proven technology for protecting data. Data Protection Manager has several benefits over other disk-based solutions while also solving some of the challenges to protecting enterprise data. Data Protection Manager integrates easily into your existing environment because it runs on Windows Server 2003. You have a great deal of flexibility in scheduling your backups with Data Protection Manager. You can run several backups during the course of the day and schedule individual servers or groups of servers to be backed up as frequently as you need while maximizing availability. DPM logs and replicates byte-level changes to files, so instead of backing up a complete file every time it changes, only the incremental changes are backed up, helping to reduce strain on the network and protected servers. Data Protection Manager checks replicated data against the original to verify that the backup is correct, so administrators and users can be confident that backup and restores are successful. And because DPM uses RAID arrays for protection, you can avoid the possibility that a tape drive or media will be a single point of failure when data recovery is needed. Integrating Data Protection Manager into your existing environment requires little administrative effort. Here we have an administrator, several file servers we need to protect, and a Windows Server 2003 system where we've performed a fresh install of Data Protection Manager. First, we install DPM agents on each of the file servers from our administrator system. Once the DPM agents have been installed, we can create protection groups for the servers, if we have several servers that need to be backed up on the same schedule. We also create a protection schedule that Data Protection Manager will use to schedule the backups on protection groups A and B. Each server or protection group can have its own schedule. Once the protection groups and protection schedules are created, Data Protection Manager begins replicating backup data to the DPM server according to the criteria specified in the protection schedule for the protection group. Let's break away from our presentation to see the Data Protection Manager on our network. To introduce you to Data Protection Manager, we're going to take a look at a couple of features. Before we start looking at the Data Protection Manager's interface, let's explore some of the prerequisites to running DPM. We've designed the DPM disk set to install and configure these prerequisites automatically, but if you have trouble installing directly from the disk set, you can manually enable and install these prerequisites. If you decide to manually install these prerequisites, follow the Manually Installing Prerequisites Software section of the Planning Deployment Help files found on the root of Disk 1 in the installation media. First, the server must be running several IIS components. DPM uses these services to allow you to access the reporting features of Data Protection Manager. The IIS components include ASP.NET, COMPLUS, and those services enabled by default with the IIS application server role. Data Protection Manager also requires the installation of SQL Server and SQL Reporting Services. DPM supports SQL Server 2000 Service Pack 4 or later, and SQL Server 2000 Reporting Services Service Pack 2 or later. When manually installing SQL Server, follow the steps defined in the Planning Deployment Help files, since DPM requires a specific named instance of SQL Server. The SQL service should be set to start automatically when the server starts, and it needs to use the local system account for starting. If you're having trouble accessing the DPM console, check the status of this service. The DPM installation media will automatically create this configuration for you. If the installation fails for any reason, go back to the manual installation process to get your DPM installation working quickly. When we open the DPM Administrator console, the application's help file opens to provide instructions on initializing the DPM configuration. Prior to this session, we installed the System Center DPM software, so we'll need to address these required installation tasks before we see some of the features and abilities of DPM. This includes three steps. First, you must add one or more disks to the DPM storage pool. The storage pool is a set of disks on which the DPM server stores replicas, shadow copies, and transfer logs. The DPM server must have at least two physical disks installed. with one disk dedicated to the system and DPM installation files, and one or more disks dedicated to the storage pool. The DPM file agent is software installed on a file server that records changes to protected data in a synchronization log and then transfers the log from the file server to the DPM server. Before you can start protecting data, you must install the agent on each of the file servers that contain the data that you want to protect. After the agent is installed on the file server, the server is described as a protected server. After completing these first two steps, we'll create a protection group. A protection group is one or more protected servers configured to be protected using the same group of rules. We'll complete each of these steps in a moment, but let's explore the administrator console first. The administrator console uses a customized view of a Microsoft Management Console. However, rather than showing a console tree along the left side, we've placed the navigation tools across the top of the console to better display the information. In the monitoring task area, we can monitor data protected activity, job status, and error conditions in DPM. You can group the alerts by protection group, by protected server, by severity, or by the status of the servers. In DPM, the severity and status of an alert change dynamically, depending on whether DPM initiates jobs to resolve the alert or an administrator takes action to resolve the alert. For example, you might see an active critical replication is inconsistent alert in the monitoring task area. When DPM detects this inconsistent replica, it automatically initiates a consistency check job for the replica. After this job completes, the status of the alert becomes inactive, and DPM changes the severity of the alert to informational. DPM comes with a notifications feature in which you can receive alerts, warnings, and informational messages through email. DPM does create a large number of informational messages, however, so you may want to exclude these messages from your notifications configuration. On the Jobs tab, you can monitor the status of all completed and scheduled jobs and the tasks associated with them. Use the Group By drop-down box to group the list of jobs by protection group, server, status, or type. Use the Time Period drop-down box to filter the list of jobs according to a selected time period. DPM provides both an alerts view and a jobs view so that you can easily access both summary and detailed information about data protection activity. The Alerts tab provides a summary view of what is happening across the entire system. The Jobs tab shows the operational details for each scheduled, canceled, completed, or failed job. As a general rule, you should start troubleshooting an issue in DPM by reviewing the relevant alert details. To get detailed information about a specific job related to the issue, review the job details. The Protection task area provides us with a view of the protection groups configured on the DPM server. We'll configure a new protection group in the next demonstration after we complete the other two required configuration steps. The Recovery task area gives us a well-designed, efficient interface to browse or search for recoverable data. From this task area, we'll also recover data, create manual shadow copies, and enable end-user recovery. For most of these functions, we'll have to wait until later in the session. However, we should enable end-user recovery at this point. This function requires two components. First, you must allow DPM to configure Active Directory to support the DPM server. Since this may take a few moments to complete, let's start this task now. You must run this task using an account that has permissions to update the Active Directory schema. The second component of this capability is to deploy the DPM shadow copy client to each computer in the network. This client extends the client provided for use with the Windows Server 2003 shadow copy service. The client adds a Previous Versions tab to the Properties dialog box for each file and folder protected by the Data Protection Manager. You can deploy this client using your current software deployment strategy, such as Group Policy Software Installation or Systems Management Server. As part of the setup for this session, we've installed this client on each server. DPM has successfully configured Active Directory for end user recovery. Now we can enable the end user recovery feature. If you are enabling this feature after you've been using DPM for a while, the feature will only be available after the next synchronization has successfully completed. We can use DPM reports to track the success of synchronization and shadow copy jobs, to help you analyze your network traffic, to review disk utilization, and/or to monitor trends in data protection activity. DPM reporting uses SQL Server to collect data and SQL Server 2000 reporting services to generate reports. Before we start using reports, we'll need to activate the DPM reporting account. After the reporting account is activated, we'll be able to view reports, schedule reports, and subscribe to reports sent by email. DPM provides 5 standard reports. The Administrator Recovery Report provides statistics on administrator-initiated recoveries. It illustrates the number of recoveries and the average size and time of these recoveries during the selected period. Each report provides data that is collected per file server or per protection group and aggregated for all file servers or protection groups. The Disk Utilization Report provides a summary view of disk capacity, allocation, and usage of disk space in the Data Protection Manager storage pool. The Network Traffic View reports the network traffic information for synchronization jobs. This report charts data transmission and job duration and provides information about data throughput. From the Shadow Copy Report view, you can see the statistics about shadow copy success and failure rates, their total number, and protection coverage information. For this report, the data is collected per volume and aggregated for all volumes. The synchronization report illustrates successes and failures of synchronization jobs over time. It depicts frequency of failures by 6-hour increments over a 24-hour time period and lists the top reasons for failure. The management task area provides us with the tools to manage storage pools and DPM agent installation. We'll return to the storage pools in the next demonstration. From the Agents tab, we can install and update the file agent on the file servers that we are protecting, and we can uninstall the DPM file agent from the file servers after we stop protection activities. Before you deploy DPM, you should purchase a license for each file server that you plan to protect. During setup, you specify the number of agent licenses that you purchased, and this number is stored in the DPM database. For each agent license that you purchase, you can install the DPM file agent on a file server. If you purchase additional agent licenses after you set up DPM or reallocate licenses from one DPM server to another, you'll need to update the number of agent licenses stored in the DPM database for the DPM server. We have one file server that we would like to protect, so let's deploy the agent to that computer. The Install Agents wizard collects information that DPM needs to deploy the agent. We'll start by selecting the file server that you want to protect. Notice that our DPM server is not listed here. You cannot protect the DPM server, so make sure that you deploy the application to a server that is not acting as a file server. Next, we'll provide a username and password that has permission to install the software on the remote system. This account must be a member of the local administrators group on the selected server or servers. The file agent installation requires a reboot of the target server. You can either allow the installation to reboot the computer or reboot it at a later time. Review the tasks for the wizard before starting the installation. This installation will take approximately 5 minutes to complete per server, so we'll come back to the server when the installation has completed. Now that you've been introduced to Data Protection Manager, let's see what's next on the agenda. During this section, we'll look at how Data Protection Manager works with some common disaster recovery scenarios. One common scenario is the data center backup, where an office needs to back up the information stored on the servers in the data center. Here we have a typical data center using a number of file servers in an Active Directory environment. The client PCs are connected by means of a LAN and store their critical files on network shares on the file server. We've installed a Data Protection Manager server in the data center. Once DPM agents have been installed on the file servers, they will replicate data to the DPM server according to the protection schedules defined by the administrator. Critical data is protected continuously and can be restored quickly when needed. Frequently, a data center has an existing tape library, and you may want to use it to provide an additional level of protection. In this disk-to-disk-to-tape scenario, you can use Data Protection Manager to provide fast, continuous backup and recovery of critical data, and use your tape library and software to backup data from the DPM server. This helps to improve system availability, since tape backup software is simply backing up data from the DPM server, leaving the file servers available for use. Another common scenario for data protection involves branch office file servers that connect to and backup data to a central office. Here we have a Data Protection Manager server in the central office in Seattle. There are file servers in the branch offices of New York and Chicago, and they need to be backed up to the data center in Seattle. Once DPM agents have been installed on the file servers in Chicago and New York, data from the servers is backed up to Seattle according to the protection schedules defined by the administrator. Since Data Protection Manager only replicates byte-level changes when files change, rather than backing up the entire file, backups over a WAN can happen quickly and with minimal effects on WAN performance and network traffic. We'll see how to set this up in the next demonstration. In these demonstrations, we're going to take a look at how Data Protection Manager works to back up your organization's critical data. In the previous demonstration, we explored the DPM console and set some of the basic configuration settings. We ended the last demonstration by installing the DPM client agent on our file server. Let's check the server to make sure that the agent installed successfully. The installed file agent only takes up about 3 megabytes of space on the protected server and runs in the background as a service called DPM File Agent. However, the file agent will allocate disk space for its synchronization logs, which require a minimum of 500 megabytes of space. Remember, this agent only tracks changes made to files and stores a log of those changes on the DPM server. The agent only runs when called upon by the DPM server, so at this point the service is in the stopped state. After we create a protection group and add this server, the service will start up and track the changes to the protected file folders. The DPM file agent can be removed from the server with the Add or Remove Programs interface, but while the DPM server is working properly, you should only uninstall the agent from the administrator console. As we return to the DPM server, the agent's install wizard reports that it has successfully deployed the agent. In the Management Task area of the DPM console, we can see that the file server has been added to a group called Unprotected File Servers with Data Protection Manager Agent. This means that the server does not yet belong to a protection group, which we'll configure in a moment. As development continues for the Data Protection Manager and the file agent, periodic updates may become available. From this pane, we can see the current version of the file agent on this server. By comparing this version number to that of the console, we'll see that both the server and client versions match. After applying updates to the DPM server, the option to update the clients from the Actions pane will also become available, allowing you to update the client agent software. The next required task to complete for the DPM configuration is to add physical disks to the DPM storage pool. By opening the Disk Management Console on this server, we'll be able to see what disks are installed and are available to the DPM application. For this session, we've added a new unformatted hard disk. When we access the Disk Management Console, Windows offers to prepare the disk for use. However, since DPM is a complete storage management solution, we'll allow it to manage the disks. Note that we have one 16GB disk that is not initialized or available to the operating system. Let's add this disk to the storage pool. As with most DPM configuration tasks, these tasks are easily accessible from the Actions pane. We simply need to move the available disk to the selected disks pane. Notice that the system disk or disk 0 does not appear in this dialog box. DPM can only use disks that are physically separate from the system disk for storing replicas and log files. The dialog box states that all data will be erased from the disk as DPM initializes and formats the disk. When DPM takes control of this disk, the disk becomes unavailable to the operating system. You will not see this disk in Windows Explorer as an accessible volume, and it will appear in the Disk Management Console as an unallocated dynamic disk. As we select the disk in the DPM console, we can view the current status of the disk to see how much is allocated for a protected server. To start synchronizing the file server to this storage pool, we'll create our first protection group now. Again, DPM provides the link in the Actions pane to access this task. Since this wizard configures the core of the DPM functionality, it provides additional information to help explain how DPM will protect your data. We'll start by assigning a descriptive name for the storage group. Plan ahead and use names that will help you and others identify the usage of the protected servers for this group. If you haven't done so yet, you can deploy the DPM file agent from here to make additional file servers available. We have two options for choosing what files and folders are protected on each server. We can select the protected files using a shared folder path, or we can specify a local path on the target server. Remember, the DPM file agent helps manage the replicas, so either path is equally valid on the target server. Let's protect this server using the shared folders path, since this is how we'll access the files later in this session. You should be aware that we've designed DPM to protect data, not as a system recovery application. You'll need to save system state data separately to use the automated system recovery features. This may seem like a drawback, but by keeping these systems separate, you'll be able to perform disaster recovery tasks quicker than you would were they together. DPM will automatically calculate the amount of disk space required to protect the selected folders. The allocated disk space only partially reflects the amount of data in the protected files. The files that we are protecting on the file server take up less than 8 megabytes of disk space, but the DPM server needs to allocate a little more than 4 gigabytes to protect the files. This is based on several factors. First, the replica itself requires space allocated for either 1.5 times the size of the protected folder or 1.5 gigabytes, whichever is larger. Next, shadow copies, which allow the end user to recover previous versions of data, require 550 megabytes of allocated space. And finally, transfer logs require a minimum of 700 megabytes of unallocated disk space. Now we can specify how and when protected data gets replicated to the DPM server. The initial replica build can take some time to complete and require a considerable amount of bandwidth on your network. With this in mind, you can schedule the initial replication during off hours. Alternatively, you can choose to transfer the data yourself using removable media such as tape or removable disks. Expect this option to take extra time to complete. By default, the DPM server will synchronize the data between the file server and the DPM server hourly. This will provide your network with a high level of data recovery in the case of a system failure. The server will also create a shadow copy of the file server 3 times during a normal business day. If you decide that these settings are not optimal for your organization, you can fine-tune the settings by adjusting some of the advanced options. If bandwidth is a major concern between the file server and the DPM server, you can throttle back bandwidth usage. The on-the-wire compression option allows more data throughput with less impact on network performance. However, this option does add to the CPU processing load on both the DPM server and the file server. You can schedule a daily consistency check during off-peak hours to ensure that the replica is consistent with the protected data. Keep in mind that the performance of the file server will be affected while the consistency check is running. From the Shadow Copy tab, we can increase or decrease the frequency with which the server takes a snapshot of the protected files. The server estimates the recovery goals set by your configuration. According to the default DPM settings, your maximum exposure to data loss due to a server failure is 1 hour, meaning that you will be able to restore data back to 60 minutes ago. You'll also be able to restore data for the last 22 days on the protected file server. Before finishing the wizard, we can review our settings to make sure that everything is correct. The protection group will take a minute to complete. During this time, the server is creating the group, notifying the agent on the target server's file agent, and allocating space required for the replica and log files on the local DPM disk pool. Each of these steps has completed successfully. Since we specified in the wizard that we wanted to create the replica immediately, DPM reports that it is in the process of creating the replica. For this demonstration, this should only take a few minutes. In your environment, you'll need to wait for all the data in the protected files to transfer over your network. Returning to the agenda, we'll continue with the final topic for today. Now that we've taken a look at some data protection scenarios, we'll see how to recover files using Data Protection Manager. There are 4 common data recovery scenarios for using Data Protection Manager. First, Data Protection Manager can recover a full server in the event of hardware or software corruption on the server. Recovering a full server from DPM is much faster and more reliable than recovery from tape. IT administrators can recover files for end users in minutes instead of hours with Data Protection Manager. Recovery is faster not only because disk is faster than tape, but because DPM's disk-based recovery enables many operations to happen in parallel. Administrators can recover files for many users without waiting for a tape drive to become available. Data Protection Manager, through its security configuration, can allow help desk users to perform immediate recovery of files for users without the involvement of an administrator. This helps users recover faster and helps reduce costly demand for IT administrator time. End users can take advantage of the recovery options present in Windows XP and Office 2003 to perform self-service recoveries of files without the intervention of help desk staff or administrators. Because file recovery is integrated into Windows XP and Office 2003, Data Protection Manager allows users to recover files as simply as cutting and pasting or selecting a menu command. Let's look at how an administrator or help desk staffer can use the DPM Administrator console to recover individual files. Here we see the Data Protection Manager's Administrator console. The console has several categories of operations shown at the top so that it's easy to perform administration tasks. You can monitor the status of protection and recovery throughout your DPM installation. In the Protection section, you can define protection groups, protection schedules, and other data backup options. In the Recovery section, which is shown here, you can browse or search for file versions to restore. In the Reporting and Management sections, you can generate a number of reports on DPM operations, set general configuration options, and manage DPM-related services. In the main window, you can browse through protected servers, shares, and volumes to what file versions are available for recovery. There's also a search tab that allows you to quickly search for a specific file or set of files that match your search criteria. Once you browse or search for a file, Data Protection Manager gives you a number of recovery options. If there are multiple versions of a file, you can recover a specific version, recover the most recent version, or view a list of all versions available for recovery. From here, an administrator or a help desk staffer can choose the appropriate file and recover it immediately. Recovery happens quickly because DPM is disk-based and doesn't have to seek through tape media or wait for a tape drive to become available. Once selected for recovery, the end user will have the file recovered in a very short amount of time. One of the most important features of Data Protection Manager is that it allows Windows XP or Office 2003 users to perform self-service data recovery. Here we have a PC user running Office 2003 on Windows XP. Data Protection Manager is protecting data on the user's file server. The user inadvertently deletes an important file from the network share on the file server. With previous solutions, the user would have had to involve an administrator to get the file restored from tape, if the file had even been backed up. In many cases, the user often ends up recreating the file from scratch because it's the fastest way to recover the information. With Data Protection Manager, the user uses the built-in self-service recovery features of Windows XP and Office 2003 to send a recovery request to the DPM server. Data Protection Manager automatically finds and recovers the most recent version of that file. The user's file is recovered quickly and without time-consuming and costly intervention of administrators. The user's downtime due to the accidental deletion is minimal because of the speed at which DPM can recover files. In the next demonstration, we'll see this feature in action. In these demonstrations, you'll learn more about how Data Protection Manager helps save you time and money by recovering data quickly and accurately. In the previous demonstrations, we completed the configuration of the Data Protection Manager. Now let's check the status of our protected server replicas and use them to recover lost data. Access the monitoring action area to find information on the status of these replicas. Under the scheduled section, we can see that the next jobs that the DPM has to complete. This section by default only shows shadow copy creation and consistency checks. To also display scheduled synchronization jobs, select this checkbox. We can also review the jobs that DPM has recently completed. When you need to troubleshoot a problem with the DPM server, you'll check here second. The first place that you should look for the cause of any issue is the Alerts tab. The server only shows informational alerts at this point, but more critical information will appear as either warnings or alerts. Now we'll finally get a chance to see what Data Protection Manager was designed to accomplish, protecting and restoring lost data. Remember that we protected this entire network share. This folder stores software that Contoso uses, IT policies on computer and networks usage, and employee timesheets for the IT department. For this example, let's assume that one of our new IT support people decided to delete this installation file after installing the Microsoft anti-spyware application on his computer. Since this software must be installed on each Contoso client computer, the rest of the team uses this file often, but this new person thought that the file would just be removed from the local computer. Immediately after deleting the file, he realizes that he was working on a network share and that items deleted from a network share do not go to the recycle bin. Let's see if we can restore this file from backup quicker than we would be able to download the file from the Microsoft download site. In the recovery action area, we now have our one file server with recoverable data. Using this console tree, we can easily navigate to the protected share and access our latest replica. As DPM continues to protect data, you will build up a list of 22 days worth of recoverable data. At the time of the last replication, this folder only contained the one file. We'll select this file and use the action pane to recover it. From the Recover Data dialog box, we can see some of the details about the file that we are about to restore. Access this option to change the target directory for the restored file. From the Recovery Options tab, we can adjust how the DPM server will react to various situations. For example, if the file already exists in the target directory, DPM can create a copy, skip the restore, or overwrite the existing file. For security, you can either apply the security of the current version or restore the security from a shadow copy. With the default option, the permissions on the data sources are applied to the recovered data. If the recovered data item did not exist at the destination, DPM applies the security settings of the parent folder. If a share is protected, this option allows you to recreate the share, not just the data, and recovery share permissions, as well as the underlying volume or folder permissions. You can also choose whether to send a notification by email about the status of the recovery job. We'll accept the default settings for the restore job and place the job into the queue. The time this job takes to complete should be approximately the same amount of time it would take to copy the file over the network. DPM has completed the restore job, so let's see if the file is back in its original location. And here is the restored file. We'll finish up the session by seeing how the Shadow Copy service allows the end user to restore files. Here's a common situation. We need to create a new policy regarding internet usage over the company network. Rather than just starting the document from scratch, we'll reuse the format of an existing policy document. Everything above the disclaimer section of the document will change. So let's delete these lines and start our new policy document. To protect our changes, we'll save the document and then say oops. By using the Save toolbar button, we save the document over the original email policies document. Here you'll find your work towards end-user education will save you a lot of time. By accessing the Properties dialog box for this file, we can access the Previous Versions tab and view earlier copies of the file as recorded by the Shadow Copy service. To access this tab, you must install the Shadow Copies client software and update it with the DPM patch available from the Microsoft website. Now we can view the shadow copy of the file to see whether this is in fact the copy that we want to restore. We can copy this version of the file to a new location, preserving the newer version of the document. Or we can restore this version, replacing the existing version. By choosing this option, we'll lose all changes to the existing document. Let's approve this restore job. Notice that the document has been removed from the File Versions pane. Restoring a previous version will remove that and any subsequent versions from this interface. If we had older versions on the server, however, those versions would still appear. Now, when we return to the original folder, we can see that the file is restored to its state from when we took the original snapshot of the files. Through these demonstrations, we have seen how to configure a new implementation of the Data Protection Manager software and how it provides you with the quickest method available to restore lost data. This concludes our session. Let's review what we've covered today. Data Protection Manager gives your organization disk-based backup and recovery that's built specifically to take advantage of the benefits of disk-based protection systems. DPM gives you fast, reliable protection and recovery of your critical enterprise data, giving you more speed, reliability, and flexibility than tape-based backup. Because of the speed and reliability that Data Protection Manager gives you, DPM helps you meet increasing demands for system availability and makes backup and recovery much less time and labor intensive than before, helping you to cut costs associated with backup and recovery and keep administrators available for other critical projects in your organization. To get more information on the products and technologies that we have covered today, there are some online resources available that can help you. For the most comprehensive technical information on Microsoft products, visit the main TechNet website at www.microsoft.com/TechNet. Additionally, visit www.microsoft.com/TechNet/MGT-42 for more information on books, courses, certifications, and other community resources that are related directly to this particular session. There are a number of other resources available from Microsoft that can help you. Microsoft Skills Assessment is a free online learning tool. It's an easy way for IT professionals to check their skills. You can quickly check your skills for implementing or managing Microsoft products or business solutions. Just take a short 30-question assessment and see how well you know your stuff. The Skills Assessment includes a personalized learning plan, which includes links to Microsoft official curriculum, specific TechNet articles, Microsoft Press books, and other Microsoft learning content. There's also a way to measure how well you did compared with others who took the same assessment. Microsoft Skills Assessment is an expanding learning platform. Available now are assessments for Windows Server 2003, including security and patch management, Exchange Server 2003, Windows Storage Server, Office 2003, and VisualStudio.net. If you want to take your skills assessment to the next level, a number of certification programs are available. In the highly competitive IT job market, how can you differentiate yourself from the next candidate? The Microsoft certification program provides that edge. Earning a specific accreditation provides objective validation of the ability to successfully perform critical IT functions. Embraced by industry professionals worldwide, Microsoft certification remains one of the most effective ways to reach long-term career goals and is a surefire way for companies to develop and retain valuable IT staff. There are a number of accreditations available, starting with the basic Microsoft Certified Professional, or MCP. You can choose to go and become a fully certified system administrator, MCSA, or System Engineer, MCSE, or a Desktop Specialist, MCDST. Away from the infrastructure side, the MCDBA certification covers the SQL Server products. For more information about the certification program, visit www.microsoft.com/learning/MCP. This session was brought to you by TechNet. TechNet has gone through some changes recently, which I'm sure you'll find interesting to hear about. To help explain this in more detail, I'd like to introduce Holly Dias, Senior Marketing Manager for TechNet.
Many of you may be familiar with TechNet events and the TechNet website, but have you ever realized the benefits of being a TechNet Plus subscriber? A TechNet Plus subscription is the most convenient and reliable resource for IT professionals evaluating, managing, and supporting Microsoft technologies. With a TechNet Plus subscription, you can evaluate Microsoft software without time limits. This benefit allows you to try products at your own pace and make informed decisions without worrying about the software expiring. TechNet Plus evaluation software includes the latest Microsoft operating systems, server applications, and Office products. With TechNet Plus, you can also save time resolving technical issues. TechNet Plus subscriptions include a range of support options, including the complete Microsoft knowledge base delivered each month on portable media, and two complimentary professional support incidents to address your technical roadblocks. TechNet Plus offers centralized access to current, authoritative technical guidance, software, and support resources from Microsoft. IT professionals around the world rely on TechNet Plus every day to help them build their technical expertise and be successful in implementing Microsoft solutions. For details, visit www.microsoft.com/TechNet/subscriptions. On the subject of TechNet resources, the new TechNet support page outlines all the support resources available for you. The enhanced TechNet troubleshooting and support page outlines all the ways IT professionals can get support assistance from Microsoft. From free online support options to subscription-based support, you'll find all your Microsoft support resources in one location at www.microsoft.com/TechNet/support. TechNet also provides a number of community resources. There are a number of free resources available on TechNet. You can attend a regular chat with members of product groups or technology specialists from Microsoft, or you can attend a webcast where you can see sessions like the one you've just watched, but presented live and with the ability to ask questions as you go. You can also read or post questions in public news groups. The TechNet newsgroup page lists the available groups and provides an interface from which you can read and post messages. TechNet Plus subscribers can use these groups to post their technical questions, and because they are subscribers, are guaranteed a response to any technical questions by next business day from community experts or Microsoft support professionals. The main community site provides a comprehensive list of resources available, more than we can ever cover on this slide. Plus, the page has some dynamic features with continually updated content. The events page provides dates and details where you can attend a TechNet event live. These events take place around the world and provide the opportunity for you to talk with Microsoft specialists face-to-face. And finally, TechNet columns provide a variety of topics written by industry authors. Thank you very much for listening to this session.